and welcome back for another episode of the Social Hour Podcast, a podcast for sewists by sewists. I'm your host, Ashley.
And I'm your host, Bethany. And on today's episode, we have the lovely Lauren Mormino from Mormino. Hi.
Hello. How are you guys today?
Oh, we're so good. Thank you for joining us.
Of course.
Can you do us a little favor and introduce yourself to our audience?
Okay. As you said, my name is Lauren Mormino. I have been making bags since I think 2015, 2016.
Awesome.
And then I started my YouTube channel in 2018, I think. But before that, I was sewing live just in a Facebook group at around 2016. So I've been sewing live for however many years that is.
It's too early for math.
A lot.
What is that? Okay, 16, so for 7 years.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
7 years.
That's incredible.
You're a pro.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so tell us a little bit about like the types of bags that you make. Because so, I've seen them. If you guys don't follow Lauren on YouTube, you really need to be.
They're fine. So I use all kinds of materials, really. But a lot of what I focus on are fabrics that I actually designed so that other people are selling the exact same bag as me. So that's kind of where I've grown, like in my bag making business and then also in my sewing supply business, is I'm designing all of these things for people to then purchase as well. So
So you don't just make bags, you have like a whole business of selling everything someone would possibly need to be able to make bags. And I want to dive into that, but first I kind of want to backtrack a little bit. You and I got to meet in person at the Sew Expo in Seattle or in Puyallup, Washington, which I'm not a bag maker. I'll be honest. I love it. I've made a couple, but I am nowhere near the level that you and Ashley are. So that for me, like sewing has so many different niches and like, I kind of have stuck into like crafting and garment sewing. And sometimes if you don't dive into these other niches, you don't get to know other people in the sewing community that do those things. So then that's what I love about our podcast. It brings us all together and I get to learn new things from people that do different types of sewing. And so when I met you, I was like, oh, she's adorable. And then you gave me this like little pack of like glitter clips and glitter ruler, which are truly my favorite. And I like seek them out and use them. Like they're right here. I have them right now.
I want one of your rulers so desperately, and I've been trying to find one that is similar in Canada, but of course I cannot find one.
We are on Amazon. So
oh, you are?
Okay. At least the 1x8 is on Amazon. So I think you can get that through Amazon Canada.
Worst case, Ashley, I can order stuff to my house and you can
That's
get
true.
It.
I can pick it up in June.
Yes.
I also
Valley.
And they're in
what now?
I wholesaled a Zipper Valley, and I know they're in Canada. Like they ship.
Oh, I've never heard of that place.
Yeah. Oh, we're learning all sorts of new things.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, I got to meet you in person,
which I was so jealous.
Ashley, I was like, I met this girl. She's really sweet. She helps.
No
out,
idea.
Like, she does like the Sew Magical Expos, which we'll talk about. And she gave me the cutest like clips, glitter clips, and rulers. She's like, wait a second.
I was like, that was like familiar.
And she's like, you mean you met Lauren from Mormina? I was like, yeah. And she's like, oh my gosh. She's like fangirled and freaked out.
I've been watching you for years, like years. And actually, you're part of the reason why I have an industrial sewing machine. Yeah. You and I watch Kasaya at the same time. And I was just like, okay, I'm sold.
How easy it is.
So I was like, okay, well, that's really cool. And so that's when I like dove in and really got to know who you are and what you do. And it's such an art. And so I'm glad that you and I have had a chance to connect face to face, and I hope we get to again in June when you guys are here for the Sew Magical Expo in Nashville.
Yes.
But I want to take a few steps back and let's just talk about how you got into sewing. Like, how long ago did you start sewing? What got you introduced to it? Okay. What did you first start making when you started sewing? Like those kind of things to get some background. And who's with you?
This is my cat, Ben, who has
a Ben. Yes. I was going to say, that's my dad's name. So I'm like, I've never met a cat named Ben.
You have now. We all have pets in the studio with
He's
us.
He's always there in the background, hanging out with you during your lives.
Yes.
He's a nuisance. I started sewing probably when I was like 8 that I can remember. And I just had a sewing machine that my mom had in the laundry room. And I would try to make doll clothing and like pillows for friends. And I think in 8th grade, I tried to make a dress. I made some pants. And then I didn't touch it for a while. My focus has always been like painting and art and things like that. So in high school, I did incorporate like some painting and sewing together, like sewing onto canvases and things like that. I would even like sequin people's shoes for $5.
Oh my goodness. I love it. You're like, I just have to craft something. I just have to make something all the time.
And I would like,
I can relate
during class. I can't just sit and do nothing.
Like, yeah,
it's so bad. and then I want to say it was like 2011, I bought a really crappy Brother sewing machine like Black Friday, and I started making doll clothing and like free motion embroidery on shirts and stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And then
I love doing free motion.
Yeah.
It's so one of my faves. It is. Like,
making something
out. It's like drawing on fabric.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why it seemed to probably connect with you, because your artist background. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then from there I started making clothing for dolls, like Monster High dolls, and I was selling on Etsy. And then I would do craft shows, and I would see like, oh, there's people like making bags. That's really cool. Like little zipper pouches and things like that. I bet I could try that. I could make that. So I tried that. And then I found a swoon pattern for like a hobo bag that someone had asked if I could use my art on this fabric for a hobo bag. And I was like, I've never really made a big bag before, but I could try. And I think that took me like 2 days, one day cutting out and one day trying to sew it. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so hard. I don't think I can do this. Like, this is way too much for me.
Stop. And now look at you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good thing you didn't just like stop there though.
I know.
Yeah.
That's the difference between someone like giving up and like pushing forward and going, okay, well, that was hard, but like I did it. And I'm sure it'll get easier the next time and the next time. And then here you are doing all the things that I feel like might be hard to me.
Right.
But
the more you do it, the easier it gets. And it was kind of a fun, an addicting challenge, just like, okay, I wonder if I could do that.
So you're clearly one of those people that is like, doesn't want to sew the same thing over and over. You want to challenge yourself more and more.
Used to be. But as I have worn away my mental energy, I'm just like, if I don't have to think and I could just make the same thing, that would be great. So like I have a sticker that says apothecary addict. It's a bag from Sincerely Jen Patterns, and like it's just so fun to make that I made like 20 of them.
That's too funny. I had the bandana business with my dog, and I still have it, but I just got tired of sewing the same thing over and over and over again. And so it went from being fun to being like a
chore.
That's a good way of a fun suck. Like, I don't know, like it just kind of sucks the fun out of sewing when you have to, and I'm making hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them, right, for vendor fairs, and it just gets to be too much. And so, you know, it ebbs and flows, right? And sometimes you just, sometimes you need the palate cleanser, right? You've been doing a lot of hard stuff and you just want to sit and do something that you don't really have to put a lot of thought into, and you can turn on some music or an audiobook or whatever. But sometimes it's like, okay, I really, really want to learn something new, you know? And I feel like, so like people in the sewing community, especially when you first get started, it's like everything's new.
Yeah.
Right. So it can feel a little overwhelming, but the more you do those things that start to come easy, keep doing them in between the things that are hard. And it kind of creates a balance. So you don't get discouraged and want to quit. Cause we've all had those moments where we're like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Well, Lauren's a mama, so that also sucks a lot of time out of your day, too.
Yes. Yes, you are.
Yeah.
Now, how many kids do you have?
I just have one daughter. She's 2.5.
Wow.
What's her name?
Dorothy.
Dorothy. Oh, my gosh. I love that.
She's my little golden girl.
I love the stuff that you post with her.
Yeah.
It's so sweet. She's so fun. Do you sew for her?
I sew clothing for her. I love using my serger and cover stitch. I'm not great at it, but she doesn't care.
No, she doesn't judge.
She's not checking your seams.
Not yet.
Yeah. Now, does she spend time with you in your studio while you're doing a lot of stuff?
She does, but she is very distracting. Like,
she's into everything.
Yeah. Like,
just give her a bucket of zippers and.
Yeah, she does. But there's a mess over here from her, like, just pulling on things. To work down here.
She's organizing.
Yeah. So we had hardware along that entire wall, and she would, like, go into the bins and, like, move things around.
Oh, no. Mix it up.
Yeah. Trying to fulfill orders that way. I was just like,
okay.
Oh gosh. Toddlers and business don't usually mix very well.
No.
Mm-mm. No. Give her the scrap fabric bin.
Yeah.
This letter and like a marker or something. I don't know. And let her color on some fabric or something. Yeah. That's too funny. Well, I love that you like still sew clothes for her though. Like you still do other types of sewing besides all of your bag making.
Yes. I need those palette cleansers and something that's for me, not for someone else.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. What was the last thing that you ever made for yourself? Not for your daughter, for yourself.
For myself.
Yeah.
I know I recently tried to make myself a dress. Like, that's the top half of it over there. the skirt looks great. I would never wear it, but it worked. I'm sure I made myself a bag.
If not, Ashley was shop talking, your inventory.
Right? Ashley was talking about this. She's like, I feel like, because she sells patterns and other stuff too. And she's like, sometimes I feel like I'm always making stuff for other people and I never like make stuff for myself.
Oh, I never did.
And then I got her into like garment sewing and she's like making more stuff for herself now. And she made the cutest Tegan dress recently and it looks so good on her and she felt so good in it. And I was like, you got to do that for yourself sometimes, especially if you're running a business.
Mm-hmm. So, I didn't realize that, like, if you actually make things that fit you, they're comfortable.
Yes.
When you're, like, shopping off the rack, you just get used to, like, things just fitting, you know, like, ugh. But when you actually, like, take your measurements and make something, it's like, oh, I'm actually kind of comfortable.
Yeah. And the way that the Tegan dress fits, it hugs, like, under the bust.
Yeah.
And then it has a flowy tiered skirt, but it's got, like, a V-neck and it just, and that she put the flutter sleeves on it and it just looks so good. It accentuates her body in all the right places. And I was like, when you start dressing for your body, everything looks so much better.
Yeah.
And so much better. It feels like pajamas. Like it's made out of rib knit and it's just like, nobody knows right now that I'm like that comfortable.
Yeah.
you can still be cute and look fashionable and also be comfortable.
But you also need to have the bag with the outfit.
Yes.
So that's what you need to do. You need to make the bags too.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So what was besides the boho bag, what was the first bag that you made and started selling? I know I'm asking you some tough questions this early.
And to go back that far in my mind when I've probably just blocked it all out.
I think
Ashley might know.
Well, I just remember watching a YouTube video and I think you were like going through your closet looking for all the old bags you pulled out.
Yeah, all the bags I've made. I can't think of like the first couple that I sold. I know that I used a Brothers DS 6000i and I thought like, this is great. I can make all the bags I want. And like starting to sew more with vinyl and like glitter vinyl, like the walking foot was not working anymore. Things like that. Mm-hmm. I want to say I made some of like the Lolas and the Brooklyn handbag.
I love the Brooklyns.
It's so
good. I have the pattern. I still have yet to actually like take the plunge. I don't know why.
That's fair. It's one of those like having the time to cut it out and you're not sewing for content or your job, like you just can't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a picture of it in my memories pop up the other day, but it like back then I was like, wow, look how great this bag looks.
Don't look back.
We all start somewhere, right?
Exactly. Yeah. That's the biggest thing when people post their bags like in So Whatever and stuff like that. And they're like, oh, it's not great. It's not great. It's like, that's amazing though. Like you.
Yeah, you did that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like how yeah. incredible.
It's like that imposter syndrome, right? Like when I first started my YouTube channel, I was like, oh, I don't know how to edit. I don't know how to make them look cool. I don't know how to do the pop-ups of the sounds.
I still don't know how to do that.
I still don't. But I just, my first video, I was like, you know what? I just got to rip the Band-Aid. I just got to do it. Probably nobody's going to see it anyways. And I'm going to get better. This is how you learn. You just got to start.
Yeah.
And it was like a screen recording of me like going through how to like upload SVGs into Cricut Design Space, because I did a lot more of that back then.
Yeah.
And it was just a screen recording with my voice. Like I was talking while I was screen recording it, and I just saved it.
That's the best way to start. Because
there was no
like,
intro, there was no outro, there was like subscribe. There was none of that. I didn't know to say any of that. And it was awful.
Sometimes you really don't need that though. Like
yeah.
It's kind of fun to watch that growth of a channel and like what you learned. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think the same thing. Like, I follow some big accounts on YouTube that are crafting and sewing, and I look at their content, and I'm like, they got this whole studio and all the fancy cameras and all the nice lighting. And then I'm like, hold up. Let me go back to their beginning videos. And then it's like, okay, we all start somewhere. We all start in the same spot, right?
Humbles
like, But they've been doing it a lot longer than me, and they have a whole team now that helps them, and I'm one person. So I have to put things in perspective. So if you're ever trying to compare yourself to someone else, go back to their beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look like it does now, I promise you. So I just, if word of advice for any of our listeners. I had to do that. I had someone tell me that, and I was like, okay. And then now every time we talk about it, I'm like, I say it again. I'm like, for the people in the back, like, it's okay.
And I get comments. I get comments from people who are like, you should turn your music down. And I'm like, okay, like, that was like a freaking 8-year-old video. Can you please watch some of my current stuff?
I've learned so much since then.
Yeah.
What I like to tell other people too is like, if you're thinking about starting a channel, do it, because we all learn differently.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to present something in a way that makes sense to someone that someone else couldn't present in that way. So,
mm-hmm.
Right. Like, we're not the only sewing YouTube channels, right? Like, and what we do, other people do.
Yeah.
It's just some people may resonate and connect with us more than others, and we might be the avenue to get them to learn and start. So if you have a passion for teaching others in whatever craft or whatever it may be, like, do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do it. Even if someone else is. I know I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
We talk to people every day on this podcast that have YouTube channels that teach people how to sew, and I love it. The more the merrier.
I agree.
And if you need help, you can always send us DMs and we'll help you.
Yeah. We love it. Yeah. Okay. So you went from making and selling bags, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you make your own patterns and sell your patterns?
Yes.
Okay. Tell me about that process. Because we're going, as you may know, Ashley and I are going through like pattern course for garment pattern making. I've done garment pattern making before, like draping in school, but the bag making... Let me make a confession.
Yeah.
This is why I don't do bags. And Ashley probably already knows this. There's so many pockets and pockets and pockets.
You don't need that to make pockets.
But I want all the pockets.
Oh.
And all the zippers and all the, and the hardware and then the straps and the feet for whatever and the right materials and the right length. Like, it's a whole new ball game for me.
Yeah, for sure.
And sometimes it feels overwhelming of like, where do I start? Like, I saw something I sent Ashley, what was it, yesterday or the day before? And I was like, I want to make this, but I have no idea where to get waterproof
canvas
material. Yeah, canvas. I was like,
she doesn't know the words.
No, I feel stupid right now just talking about it because I know that there's terms that I don't know.
So that's why you just watch Lauren and then she just says all the things and then you just write it down.
Start picking it up.
Yeah, exactly.
I just...
Most of what you need on my website. Just
like, and that's
I know you do.
Is you choose your bag and then you just buy the hardware for that bag and that's it. And then you just make that one.
Okay.
You know, you don't need to wholesale everything right off the bat.
No.
No,
I don't want to, I just want to make them for myself.
You yeah. don't need to follow exactly what someone else is doing or what the pattern is doing. Like, mm-hmm. I feel with like this, you yeah. probably have enough knowledge within you, whether you think you do or not, to make adjustments and like feel your fabrics together and kind of figure out how they're going to develop as a bag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I just,
yeah,
it gets overwhelming.
It's fair.
Yeah,
like all the pieces. Like I made a project for Singer for the month of April, and it was a lanyard, a mini wallet, and a chapstick holder, and they all clip together with like different rings and D rings and lobster claws and all this stuff. And I was like, I don't know what these are called, but it's like the little clippy thing with the little, and I had to like look, I had to Google them to find the right term to put in my tutorial because I had them. I didn't know I had them. I found them in a drawer of random craft supplies. But I like when I see patterns that say you need this type of ring, this type of hook, this type, I'm like,
oh. She didn't even ask me. Thanks.
No, I was in such a hurry to get it done. But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's all new yeah. terms.
Well, that's the thing. You're like, what? I don't know what that is. And I don't even know what to Google to find it. Yeah.
But if you want to know about garment sewing, I'm your girl. So we each have our own little niche. But if you had someone like myself who I've made a few bags, but if who wants to really dive into like, there's a duffel bag that I really want a good duffel bag for like a weekender bag or something mm-hmm. like, or whatever. I want to make a handbag. I would love to make a bag that looks very much like one of my Kate Spade bags that I love. Oh. So where do I get started with you? Like, where should I start?
Like start getting materials or start gaining the knowledge to do that?
Both.
Well, I mean, obviously YouTube.
Yeah.
Your YouTube.
Not even just mine, but there are tons yeah. of incredible bag makers on YouTube. And I think it's finding the one that fits your knowledge level and you mm-hmm. can grow from there or stick with it too. Mm-hmm. And like, I know I use an industrial machine, so my audience isn't as big as some others because that is not necessarily off-putting, but it's not relatable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Beginner bag makers.
I don't have one of those.
To like change myself to be a beginner bag maker and use a domestic machine, I'm just like, this is not me. This is not my business. I can't do it. I'm going to let the other people that are professionals do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You'll end up breaking your other machines anyways if you try.
Yeah.
I already have done that. Like,
there you go.
I did my time. I did. I don't need to go back.
Yeah.
So what do you feel like? Okay. So which materials, because I know you mentioned like vinyl, glitter vinyl. I love those bags. But like yes. the leather, the faux leathers, all of that. Which materials kind of go, if you're going to sew this, this is when you have to go from a home, regular home sewing machine to an industrial machine. Like what's that line? Is there a line?
I think the line is within you. It's what you're capable of doing on your domestic, because I have seen some incredible bag makers
mm-hmm.
make their bags on a domestic. And I'm like, I tried that. I couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Like, I feel like I could do more with like, say my heavy duty machine.
Yes, yeah. You could. Yeah.
But because I've sewn vinyl on it and I've sewn, faux leather and stuff on it,
yeah.
And huge layers of denim and stuff. But it's all about the right settings too, the right yeah. feet, the right needle.
Yeah.
But that mm-hmm. one, because it's a metal frame, it's got the stability for it. Mm-hmm. But I've never tried to sew like multiple layers of vinyl through the side of a zipper with, you know.
It's when you're adding when, like the, what do you call it? Like for your D-hooks, when you put in like your little
loop
ring holders and your.
It's when you hand crank it slowly over that part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those things like an industrial just like flies through it. But
yeah.
Yeah. You just need to like baby your machine during those parts.
Am I asking for an industrial for my birthday?
I would say go to, obviously you're going to Sew Magical, right? In Tennessee.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
There's open sew for industrials. Bring some fabrics
and
some
materials.
Okay. And I actually both purchased industrials for the use of teaching people, because domestics to me are terrifying. Like when sewing bags, I am terrified. I'm like, I'm going to break a needle.
Mm-hmm.
I have stabbed through my finger on an domestic, but not industrial. And like, it's not the machine that everybody needs in any right. form. You have to make that decision. But if you're considering it, we want to make it easier for you to know if it's the right machine for you or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The industrial machines, I don't have, I mean, I've experienced them. I've worked on them. Yeah. I've used them. I've used different ones. I don't know enough about them to go, this is the model I want, or this is the type I want, you know, like Ashley and I have talked in the past. It's like, there's different versions with different motors and different whatever. And I'm like,
it's overwhelming.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I know it's big, it's heavy, and it sits in its own table. Yeah. And it's got a motor. And I mean, I've used them. I've used a industrial straight stitch many times in school. Yeah. And then in the,
you had those,
the drapery shop.
Clutch motors though, that yes. just freaking flew.
Oh. Yes, I did.
And terrifying.
Then we had like a 10 thread serger, industrial serger. I had a ruffler machine. We had a blind hem machine, which truly was my favorite machine because the curved needles, they just scoop in and catch the hem.
I have one of those.
Oh, I love
it. I don't just know how to use it.
The sound of it was like a whoof, whoof. It was just a really cool experience. And then the most terrifying machine I've ever used in my life is the tack machine.
Mm.
Yeah.
When you're doing like you're doing like 8 to 10 layers of canvas, blackout curtain lining, and it's all folded and tack it together to make the perfect box pleats.
Mm.
And you have to stick it in there and you have to like put all your weight on the pedal. So you're leaning into it. And that thing was like, really fast, and they have to rip it out. And if I didn't have glasses on, I probably wouldn't have an eye right
That's
now.
Terrifying.
Because I had a needle break off and hit me right up under. Oh, it's terrifying. It was so loud. And after like doing 8 tacks, you would have to stop and change the needle because the needle would get so hot it would break.
Oh wow!
Yeah, this thing was not safe at all. But you know. Live and learn. I only used it for a few months, and then I was like, I don't want to use this thing anymore. So I let the other girl do my tax. I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. After I get hit in the face with a piece of a needle, I was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm not scared of them.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know enough about the different types or the newer versions to go.
Yeah, to choose one.
To make it assignment. I'm kind of the same way, to be honest. When I bought my industrial, it was between the 8700 and the 1181. That's all people were discussing. There was no other brand other than the Juki that people were talking about. Mm-hmm. Like, I know there's hundreds of brands now.
King
that,
Max is what Kasai uses.
Yeah. And like, they're pretty much the same machine. It's just a different brand.
Yeah.
It's
label slapping.
It's kind of the way that home domestic machines are too, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they all kind of are, they're similar. Like they all have different tiers, right? Of like, like very basic mechanical, basic computerized. Like there's different tiers and then you get into embroidery. But, They all have just a different color scheme and exterior look, but they all do the same thing.
Yeah. I have an oldie, like it's like from the 70s, but I changed up for the servo motor.
That's good.
But yeah.
Okay. So which one do you have, Lauren?
I have a Juki 1181N with a servo motor.
So what does that mean?
So the servo motor, allows it to be a little bit more computerized in that way. You can change the speed setting so that it's not all or nothing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Set it lower.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you can really do like one stitch at a time.
Yeah.
Which is.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, for me, like the, was that a cat that just walked in front of the camera?
And then I spilled my coffee all over me.
The industrial machine experience I have is just like, you barely touch the pedal and you're like, shoom, like it's, but I'm a pedal to the metal kind of girl. So once I get comfortable with one of the machines, I have no problem going fast.
But you are doing some long seams when you're doing drapery, right? So for this, you're doing top stitching and you're going around curves and things.
Yeah.
And you really need to be able to control.
Right.
So I had that, the clutch motor and I could not get a feel for it.
Yeah.
So I just went to Amazon and I got a servo.
go.
That's, I would have never known that you could do that, but that's really cool. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned the Sew Expo, or no, I'm sorry, the Sew Magical Expo.
Yes.
Forgot the magical part in the middle. So tell me about that. Tell me about, like, I mean, I know a little bit, but tell our audience about it and how you're involved with that.
Okay. So I'm basically just a hype woman at this point. I'm not employed. I don't work for, I just really love the environment.
Yeah.
I have not been to other Sew Expos. Like, well, I've been to Sew Expo now. Kayla and I went just to kind of see what others are like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And especially one that's been around for so long. A few years ago, I had wanted to get into selling sewing supplies. I've been doing Comic-Con selling bags and clothing for years. And I was like, I'm moving into a new realm of my business. I think it would be really cool to do sewing expos or quilting expos. I just don't know what that looks like. Mm-hmm. So when I discovered Sew Magical Expo, I was like, oh, this seems really cool. And it is small, but it's growing. Mm-hmm. So I think I went for its third year, and that was right after COVID. So it happened before COVID, during COVID, and then I went in 2021.
Yeah.
It was my first time, and I just had like half of a booth because it was my daughter's first birthday. So I was like, well, I have to leave on Sunday. Is that cool? Like, that is her birthday. We're going to Disney. Because it was in Florida, and now Kayla has it all over. And
yeah.
I just really love her. I love the event. So it's fun for me to just kind of have an ear towards the event, but like, it's in no way my event. Like, it's all her. It's all her.
When I get to meet her too. Yes. At the Sew Expo. She's the one that gave me the information about it. And so you guys do one in Texas, Florida, and Nashville.
This was her first year going anywhere other than Florida. So Florida was the first, I think they call it the flagship event or something like
that. Yeah.
Where it's the first one, and that's her biggest. And she was just kind of trying to grow it with the audience, because there's so many people who are like, oh, I wish you would bring it here. I wish you would bring it here. And like, that's so much easier said than done.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard work. So Dallas was the first time that it was anywhere else but Florida, and it was so fun.
Good.
Yeah. Tennessee is coming up.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm excited because it's literally 10 minutes from my house at the Gaylord. And so I need to reach out to her and be like, please let me help. Please let me volunteer. Please let me do whatever. I had reached out, and I know it was a little too late to like sign up to teach a class, because by the time I met you guys, but I do want to get involved and help if she plans to continue to do them here in Nashville, because it's just in my backyard and I would love to do more. And as it grows, maybe it's something that we can do some bigger sponsorships with it. Absolutely. But, you know, I'm excited to go. So when someone decides to sign up to go to a Sew Magical Expo, what can they expect to experience?
It's so hard to say because it is so new, and like,
yeah,
each one has been a little bit different. Florida is definitely the biggest one because so many people are used to it. I think last year there was about 1,400 people that attended.
Wow.
So it is a lot of people, and it feels small still.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In a good way. Like, it feels more intimate. Like, you're going to be able to get to know people. You're going to have time with the people there.
Yeah.
So
I love that.
Last signups after you purchase tickets. Mm-hmm. And I don't know 100% all of that, so I would hate to misspeak about it. Again, it's not my event. But there is a vendor hall with amazing vendors in all different categories. I know Kayla works really hard to make sure that there are vendors in all different medias and types. She's really trying to work on the cosplay part of it, because
that's a big industry.
Craft too. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's so hard to say because each one is going to have a different feel to it. And we've not had the Nashville one yet.
Yeah.
I can't even speak to it, but I know that the instructors that she has and like the vendors she has, they're amazing. So it's really just what people will bring to it too.
Do they have any classes around industrial machines?
Yes. So I am teaching a class and it's on industrials. My class is sold out. I only had 15 spots, but
there I'll be a helper and watch.
Yeah, absolutely. But there's open sew too. So
that's right.
There's still spots available for that. I'll be in the classroom just kind of helping people. Teaching to me is exhausting.
Yes.
I hyper focus on each and every person in the room to make sure one, they're having fun, two, they're going to finish their project, and like three, they feel comfortable asking any questions they have.
Mm-hmm.
So by the end of the day, I'm just like,
you're tired. Tapped out. You're tapped out.
Yeah.
I get that.
Fun? Are we good?
Did you survive? Am I surviving?
Yeah. Did you have fun?
Am I having fun?
And I do have fun. I really do. Like, mm-hmm. getting to it's know just, everybody in the class.
It's draining though, because mm-hmm. you put there's so much leading up to it, and then like the class is like the peak moment, and then when the class is over, it's like, you know, you just like,
yeah,
you just come flying down the other side of that hill, and you're like, okay, well that peaked quickly.
Yeah.
So I was at Craftcation last week, and that's so Monica was there, and she was teaching several sewing classes, and the one on her last like day of teaching classes, she was like, my helper doesn't like they provided doesn't know how to sew, and we want to add like the class was full, but they had 7 people on the waiting list, so hoped that they could get in if someone didn't show up. So we ended up moving tables in and extra machines in from the other classroom that wasn't being used. And these are all machines that I know because they're Vikings and Fofs and Singers mm-hmm. and everything. So I was like, sure, I'll come help. I jumped nice. In and helped her. It was so much fun. But because we added like 7 people to the class, it was like even more. Mm-hmm. And so it's a lot of work. So having like people who can help and do all of that mm-hmm. is so critical, because one person can't teach a huge classroom by themselves and tend to every little machine issue, like, you know, rethreading and all of that. Like it's a lot.
And then people don't realize. The students kind of aren't in their element. So they forget everything they know. Just like when we started, I was like, I don't even know who I am at this point. What am I doing?
They're like, is this a sewing machine? Like, yes, it is. It's the same one you have at home. It works the same.
Yeah, exactly. So the way I go into it is I have a helper for every 5 students. I want to make sure.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So
especially with industrial machines.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So yes.
I'm so thankful. I have a ton of friends who are very knowledgeable, and they're like, I want to just help. I just want to be in the room and hang out and help.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm so glad to have fostered that kind of environment and those people. But
mm-hmm. that's awesome.
Yeah. So for this class, I would need 3 helpers, 1 for each pod
mm-hmm.
so that I can teach and help, but mm-hmm. still there's someone there in case somebody has an issue, which just makes the whole class go faster.
Mm-hmm. It does. It does. How many days is the Sew Magical Expo?
3. So it's Friday, 3. Saturday, Sunday.
That's what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited.
Me too.
I'm super excited.
Yeah.
And if you're listening, there's still time to get tickets.
Absolutely.
Even if you just want a ticket to like go shop the vendors.
Yes.
And not take classes.
That aren't very expensive that gets you into the vendors. And I think you can also watch some of the presentations. That's a part of it. We're really trying to grow. I say we, like I'm part of it, but obviously not. But I think panels and presentations are so much easier for people who are attending mm-hmm. to watch and learn from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Instead of exhausting themselves with hands-on classes, bringing their mm-hmm. own machine and going mm-hmm. from this hall to, you know, to all.
Yeah.
I can't imagine doing that.
I like going to the panels because I feel like you get to know some of these people a little more, and you get to ask them questions, mm-hmm. You know, that and get to maybe have other people ask questions that you didn't think about, and you learn something new. I feel like it's a little more intimate
mm-hmm.
where you get to know them more than just like sewing a project.
Yeah.
So I sat in on several panels at Craftcation, and I learned a lot.
Yeah.
You can learn a lot, especially if you're like running a business or trying to like be a content creator or do, you know, grow a brand or whatever. Like there was some really good insight information from people who have been doing it for a long time that have done it successfully.
Right.
So it's really, those panels, don't skip out on those.
No.
Don't skip out on those. They're really fun. They're really fun. So let's talk about your business.
Okay. Yes, I have one.
Give us a snapshot. Yes, I have one. Give us a snapshot of like what your business is and the themes that you carry.
Okay. So I started by making handbags and designing clothing. as well as some other accessories, and I would go to comic cons. And then as I started making more and more handbags, I decided I really want to carry my own hardware. It's easier for me to have it all here when I need it, and I can find the quality I want. So I think it was around 2018 that I started carrying hardware and kind of slowly growing that part of my business more. Mm-hmm. And it's blossomed into, I have a building with 7 other employees. We fulfill orders daily. Like,
what?
Yeah.
So it's not even in your house?
It's not in my house.
It's out of the house now. Wow. It's
in my studio where I get to sew and create content for YouTube. But I am having so much fun sourcing new products, mm-hmm. like vinyls that are different weights for different material, like different machines, different fabric types, different kinds of hardware, designing my own hardware. And then the Notion wow. part of it has been my, like, this is yeah, so yeah. cool. Like, I get to imagine a product and then work my butt off to find a supplier to create it. And mm-hmm. then I get to bring it to life.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I had no idea it was that yeah. big of an operation. Yeah. I'm so impressed.
Mm-hmm. I like to say impressive, but confusing.
That's
you got yeah. a lot of stuff in your mind right now. Yeah. My goodness.
So you said quality of your Notions, your supplies. Is that like, okay, so sourcing quality Notions and hardware mm-hmm. is probably like the difference of sourcing quality different types of fabrics. Like I know the different qualities of fabrics, right? Based on where you get them from.
Yeah.
So same concept, I guess, with hardware.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Like, it's just about the weight and the feel mm-hmm. of it. Like if you go to a quilting shop, you know that there's going to be a big name hardware supplier there. Mm-hmm. But I believe that that hardware quality is just very like cheap. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't feel substantial. It doesn't blow me away with the way it looks or the quality. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I want that. So that's mm-hmm. what I try to carry.
That's awesome. So everything that you carry is like hand sourced
yes.
by you. Mm-hmm. Now I know that you do some like fun colors and glitters and iridescent, like fun there's stuff.
Zipper tapes though, right?
Yeah.
You like, have zipper tapes and everything.
Yeah.
They're incredible.
With other small shops to carry products.
That's awesome.
Them. Like that way someone can go to my website and find interfacing and like double-sided tape and things like that. And mm-hmm. I still got to support the shop that worked their butt off to source it.
That's awesome. Like,
mm-hmm. In case people didn't want to shop from a million different places, they can still
right.
support those.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been super fun for me.
So mm-hmm. if I wanted to make a bag,
mm-hmm.
I could come to your website and mm-hmm. get a pattern mm-hmm. and all of the supplies I would need. Do you sell kits?
We are working on selling kits. It's been an inventory issue we're trying to work out in the back.
Okay. Kits are a whole nother beast. They are, because you have to have your single inventory that people want to buy like one or two of, and then you have to have like enough to be able to make kits too.
Yeah.
So, but I was just curious.
Like a whole kit. Last year I put together something called a summer project box that was a pattern, the fabric, the hardware, some Notions, things like that. So we have like, finally we have like 19 of those boxes left, but we had like 2,600 of them. It was,
oh yeah, my goodness.
We had started out with like 1,500 and I put up a Google form. I don't do pre-orders. I just can't. So
yeah.
I had people like reserve one if they wanted one, like let me know. And it got to like 2,400 people that wanted to reserve. And I was like,
wow,
I don't have that many. I don't know what to do. So I rushed over the bench, and then we had a couple left over that have just kind of been slowly selling. But I would definitely recommend that if you're a beginner. It's all very domestic friendly and like a little sample of what our mm-hmm. business has to offer, basically.
That's a good introduction to
yeah.
this whole different niche of sewing.
Yeah.
That is different than other, like you need different tools. You need different equipment. You need like different knowledge when it comes to bags compared to little crafts or garments or quilting, you know, it's all.
But you can avoid tools too. Like if you're not ready for like a rivet press yet, you can figure out a way to
do it. I don't even know what that is.
You know what a rivet is.
I can't envision or like one a right grommet. Now, like, okay, like, yeah.
Lauren has a big grommet setter. You know, you bring down the arm kind of thing, but like,
yeah,
you don't have to do that. No. You know, so there's always way to like work around
right.
the big tools
scale it until down. You're
ready to go right. and get those. Like, I can't even get a rivet press in Canada without spending like hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
Does
so,
Emmeline not sell? I think Emmeline sells them now.
Oh, I'm sure they do, but it's obnoxiously expensive. That's true. And then they sell like the little pieces, yeah. right? Separately. Like I have a supplier and it's like $200 for the setter. And then it's like $50 to $75 for each of those little pieces. And I'm like, dude, that's like a lot of money. It is
definitely an investment that will
yeah.
make your life easier.
And I'm not selling. So I'm not like recouping. If I was selling, then it's like, okay, I'll just put it on the business kind of thing. And then yeah. I'll recoup that money. But I'm not really like, I'm just having fun with podcasts.
So we're just over here having fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. It excites me. Like I've definitely mm-hmm. caught the bug. We've talked to, and we've interviewed several very strong bag makers over the last, 9 months that we've been doing this, 8 months. Mm-hmm. And every time we talk to one, like yeah. yourself, I'm like,
I'm going to do it.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to get an industrial machine too, because I've always wanted my own, because I've sewn with them. Like I really do appreciate them, yeah. you know, even just to have.
And they're not that much more expensive than domestics.
No, yeah. they're not.
The hard part for me is, because of who I work for, I have so many machines. Dog. I have no place to put this. Like my dog's going to have to sleep outside because his crate's not going to have a spot in here. No, I'm just kidding. I would never do that to him. But I would never. I moved my exercise bike onto the porch before I would make my dogs go outside. But yeah, no, I just, yeah. I love the sound
mm-hmm.
of the industrial machines. If you've never heard an industrial machine, when you turn them on, the hum.
Yeah. Well, the servo doesn't hum.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You don't have the hum. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Like when the machine is running, they have a noise, but otherwise they're very quiet.
No, yeah, it's the clutch motor that's like yeah.
Okay, so
in
the drapery shop that I worked in, all of those machines I listed earlier were in a line.
Oh, I bet. Right? Yeah,
and I would go in and I would turn every single one on because they have to warm up. Okay, yeah. You don't just flip it on to start sewing. And gosh, I just love that sound.
Yeah, it's not. You're not gonna get that sound anymore.
Dang. Dang, I'm going to have to like download that sound from somewhere and just listen to it in my headphones while I'm sewing. Like, or I'll just make it. It's like, while I was like, add the sound effects like a child. No, it's just, I don't know. But even like my domestic machines, like the sound of a sewing machine is just mm-hmm. therapeutic to me.
Mm-hmm.
But they do sound different.
Mm-hmm.
The industrial machines. What are you working on now?
In what sense?
And what? Yeah, in what aspect? Because she's probably coming out.
I know you're juggling so much. So, yeah. Well, first of all, I know you went through. I follow you in your stories. I may not understand all the things that you're doing because it's like I said, a different language for me. Yeah. I'm learning. I'm trying, Lauren.
I love that.
I got to start somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. But there was a product that you had spent a long time developing and going back and forth with manufacturers and they weren't getting it right. And it was in your beautiful colors and you finally got it, but you're like, this is the only time I'm carrying these. So tell us a little bit about that experience. So, if you want to.
Yeah, absolutely. I will live through the trauma again. That's fine.
I'm sorry. So early in the morning.
There is a zipper jig that already exists, but it's very stabby.
Yeah.
So stabby.
That sits on your table. And you can put your zipper pull on to feed through zipper tape.
Yes.
Is that the metal one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's plastic ones that exist, et cetera. But like, for me, that's what I learned on. That's what's easiest for me. And I like that it won't break. Like the 3D printed ones, they break. They're not great.
Right.
So I wanted to find that was one that was able to be made in a rainbow finish, and mm-hmm. I could have certain things customized. So like I had the screw of it customized to look like a heart, and then I had the top of it customized to look like a heart as well. But also I have a toddler, so I could leave it out on my table and she's not going to walk up to it and stab her eye out.
Oh yeah.
So I worked on
safety first.
2 years.
Like 2 years.
2 years going back and forth with the manufacturer, and then they had issues, and that's not what it normally is for me.
Like mm-hmm. That's a long time.
It is a long time, and I love that aspect of it, but it's so hard. Like I said, I don't do pre-orders, so making those investments is not mm-hmm. easy. Mm-hmm. And then having that money tied up for 2 years, I was like,
yeah. You don't have control over it, right? Like, that's hard, too. As a business owner, you want to have control over as much as you can to protect your business and to not only relinquish the funds, but also the control and hope that they're going to deliver to the quality that you and your consumer expects.
Right.
That's hard.
It's hard. It is very stressful, especially since I'm usually working on, like, 3 or 4 of those products at a time, mm-hmm. like just because I have these ideas and then I can't sleep until they exist.
Are you working with suppliers from like overseas?
Yeah.
So there's that also, that aspect of it.
Yeah.
Is there language barriers and things or?
Yes.
Yeah.
But no.
Yeah.
Like usually you can get to an understanding, but it's definitely the time zone barriers. That's the hardest. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm usually up until like 2 a.m. because mm-hmm. those are the good times to like really have a conversation of back and forth instead of waiting a day.
Mm. Right.
So that's always hard. Do you want me to go get the tool?
Yeah. Yes. Let's see it.
Okay.
Of course.
So,
and it, yeah.
While she walks away, if you're not watching our podcast right now, this space that she's in, first of all, it's beautiful, but it is so colorful.
Mm-hmm.
So, so colorful. I love the little ribbon banners.
Well, I mean, if it doesn't bring you joy,
right?
Why do you want to create in a room?
I feel so boring today wearing a black shirt with my white background and she's all colorful and lively and I love it.
That teal color.
We were admiring your beautiful, colorful space.
Which is weird because I'm dead inside. So it's all black in here.
Oh my
God. I wear it on the out.
Color. I'm alive, I promise. This is the tool.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So
gorgeous.
I bought a zipper helper instead of a jig. I didn't want to just use the name that exists.
Yeah.
We did sell out of this, thank God. But I was like, I don't know what to tell you. But so they engraved it upside down. This was my sample and they did it right side up. But that was the final, they did it upside down. And
did they think it was going to be upside down or something? Or
They did it right once, clearly. So this was just...
Exactly. Like, I was like, okay, but they're upside down. And they're like, oh, well, we can't redo them. Except they also pay us the balance. And I was like, and if I don't pay, I don't get the product. So luckily, a ton of people bought it. And they said, just put it upside down. So
like, turned
this way. And this still slides in. So, like, it worked out. And they just have it on their table like this, and it's fine. But, yeah, your pull goes here, and then you feed through the zipper tape.
Yeah.
And some people use a fork for that.
It's like your third hand. Yeah, I literally have a fork attached to a piece of wood.
Yeah, and it works. It works.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So. I just fiddle with it until I want to cry, and then it just I walk away. And then I come back and I do it the first time.
Yeah.
Oh, right? Like that just drives me nuts, right? I'll be doing one and it'll take me forever.
Yeah. And then I designed that so it would be a heart.
I love that. There's so much thought, but I love the rainbow iridescent.
Yeah.
And you have quite a few tools that, yes. Okay, yeah, so what's this? Yeah.
This is a hole punch. So if you don't have a rivet press or anything and you want like a little hole punch, we have these.
Mm-hmm, through the leather and vinyl, yeah.
That's what I need. Mm-hmm. You still have those in stock?
Yes.
Add to cart.
The minimum order quantity of this was insane and I'll have them till I die.
Oh!
So please buy them.
But those don't go out of style. No, no.
And you can sell them to like a hardware store.
Yeah, that's so
true. And you wanted to?
Are you going to have a booth at So Magical?
Yes.
Yeah, just buy in person. Yes. Wait, are you bringing your hardware to purchase?
Yes.
Oh.
I know. We did. We tried it out for the first time in Texas, and I was like, okay, we can do this. It's a lot.
Yeah. It is. It's heavy.
Yeah, very. We had so many people who were like, I thought you would have hardware here, and I'm like.
Yeah, like, it's just you?
Luckily, I have tons of help, but I'm like, I don't know what you want from me. I don't know what you want me.
I thought you were going to bring, like, your entire collection.
Exactly. And then they're like, and where's Dorothy? And I'm like.
And where's the cat?
You don't know what you want.
Ben's not here? Like, what the heck?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God.
So in Nashville, I expect Ben. I expect Dorothy. And I expect your entire warehouse. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So what are you going to have at your booth in Nashville?
So we're going to have fabric. Vinyl, hardware, notions,
vinyl.
Rulers are the biggest thing.
It is.
You don't sell those on the website unless you buy separately because they would just break. But we will have some fun rulers, like an 18 by 18. I can show you.
Yep.
Yes.
I'll get the rulers.
Just bring stuff.
Just grab all the goodies.
You have to see these glitter little rulers too. Like they're so cute, and they just
I have one.
They just bring you joy to measuring, right?
Literally, like, my favorite ruler.
Yeah, I want one so bad.
It's in my sewing room, or else I'd grab it.
Sizes. This one's an 8.5 by 8.
Gorgeous.
And I do. It's not the sizes too.
They're, but it's just elevating your sewing experience because they're glittery and they're rainbow and they're fun.
Oh, look at how pink it is.
So this one's an 18 by 18, and it goes from like pink to teal.
Is that like a fat quarter size or something?
No, for me, not it's quite. It's like a tote bag size.
Oh, okay. Like
18 by 18.
Yeah.
So, like, we can't ship this, though. You know what I mean? Like,
right. It's really, it'll snap.
It would cost too much to package it to not, so it wouldn't break.
Exactly.
But your rulers are thick.
Yeah, they're a good thickness.
They're good thickness. Like, yeah,
perfect with rotary cutters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I liked about it. The little one is I was able to cut next to it. Even though it's a little one, I was able to cut next to it because the thin ones, like my rotary cutter will go right over that, cut my thumb or my knuckle. Ask me how I know because I've done it. So the thicker the ruler is that you're cutting next to, the safer.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
It's too thick and then your rotary cutter starts to like unscrew itself or something.
Yes. I've had one of those like that. And I'm like, why am I struggling?
Yeah,
it's not fun. Okay, so fabric.
Yeah.
Is this custom?
Wow. So
this is a whole nother ball game when you're doing custom fabrics. Tell us about the types of fabrics you're doing and like your typical like kind of design style, or do you kind of run the gamut?
It's pretty much all over the place. So I'll be bringing fabric, waterproof cotton and waterproof canvas and cotton woven. So the difference between the waterproof cotton and the waterproof canvas is the backing.
Mm. Okay.
Waterproof canvas has like a PVC backing and the waterproof cotton doesn't, but it's still waterproof. It's a little bit thicker too.
Hmm. The cotton is?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's like a thicker canvas cotton. It's really
interesting.
Cool. Yeah. And it's really soft. And that's what's hard too. Like it's something you got to feel in person, or just trust who you're buying from. It'll work. I guess.
And are you going to be selling it like by the yard?
Yes. So we do 2 yard, half yard, 1 yard.
Okay.
Just in different price ranges, and people are like, "Well, I'd rather just have a half yard to try it."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's pre-cuts.
Yes.
Mm. That's nice. You're not having to cut fabric there.
There. Yeah, no, thanks.
No, that's what they were doing at the Sew Expo.
Yeah.
All those fabric booths were cutting fabric.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
Sense in that.
Well, for garments, right?
Yeah.
Right.
For quilts, you might need 6 yards for a backing, things like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Right, yeah. Like,
yeah. But it felt like I was shopping in their store, though. It was kind of cool.
Yeah.
So you're doing fabric, you bringing any like vinyls or any of that too?
Yep, all that. And we do sell something we call accessory weight vinyls that are more domestic friendly. So they're thinner.
Oh.
Yeah. And we have a few of those on the website now too. We're just running out of space within the building. So we're actually building on this year. We're
adding oh my goodness.
500 square feet.
Wow.
Adding how much?
3,500 square feet.
To what?
A building?
I think it's about 2,200. So wow. We're already doubling, but we're adding a classroom, which I'm so
excited. Oh, that's so exciting.
Okay, so where are you located?
I'm near St. Louis. I'm about 30
minutes. That's not far from me.
It's not. I'm just saying, you should definitely come up for a class when we have them.
I will so be there.
Looking for other teachers as well. So it'll just be like a big, yeah, exactly.
Classroom. Guest appearance.
Sign me up. I actually...
Wait, you're going to teach a bag class? I don't think so. No. I'll teach the bag class. Thank you.
I didn't say I was teaching a bag class. I just said you teach. I could just... I mean, I've sewn bags. I haven't sewn bags at Lauren's caliber, okay? But I've sewn some
a grocery bag.
Do you remember... You remember the... that strawberry bag I made for...
A project for work. Horrible.
I made it with a quilted vinyl. Mm-hmm. Like a quilted, like fat, like it was thick and it was red and it was diagonally quilted. So the way I cut it made it look like strawberries.
So
like
cute.
I cut it in a strawberry shape. And then I used marine vinyl for the green for the top with the stem and the leaves at the top. It had a zipper, it had lining, it had a whole strap of vinyl. I did it all on a heavy duty. So, and I've never made a bag like that before, and I made my own pattern.
And it's
one of my free projects on singer.com that was from last July, and it was so fun. And it was so cute. And then
why are you making more?
I don't know.
So fun. You're like saying all the right things.
But I even did like the little satin stitch in different widths to make it look like little seed, like teardrop seeds on the front of the quilted in each of the little like diamonds. So stinking cute.
Yeah.
So stinking cute. I was really proud of that. It wasn't big. It was like a small little something, but I actually used it at my vendor fairs because I could put it crossbody and it wasn't heavy. It was small. And it was where like my instead of wearing a fanny pack, that's where I put my money. So I was quite proud of that one because I've never done anything like that before. And I just figured it out. I'm sure you could do it way better, but I was so excited about that one. That one took a lot of forethought and planning and trial and error to get it right to send it out to the world. I don't know if anybody's made it.
It was probably really addicting, just like, oh, I figured it out, that creative challenge.
And then I do something really simple after that, like using palette cleanser. I need a palette cleanser. All my projects are going to be that challenging for me, but I got to do it from time to time. So, but I would like to do more bag stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like, we've done zipper pouches and we've done stuff like that, but and totes and things, but I would love to do like a really nice bag.
I know. I need to make a new purse. Mine's dying.
We need to like show on the video some of the ones that you, and we have a website now, thanks to Ashley. And we do blog posts for every episode. So a lot of the photos that we get from our guests, we put in that blog post. We also share on socials, but we can embed them in the video. So some of the pictures you have of like bags you've made. We can, and products you've shared. I know you've held them up on that video, but we can get like your nice styled photo or that you have, and we can put them on the blog post and and all of that. So if you want to send those over.
Yeah. And you can shop right from, we'll have links to all of her stuff there.
Yeah.
We link everything in the descriptions.
I do release new products every 1st and 15th of the month.
Really?
Yeah. So
she never stops. Do you retire products?
Kind of. It's kind of like if people don't request that it comes back, we just kind of let it fizzle. But mm-hmm. we're always trying to source like new fun materials that keep people excited and engaged in bag making, I guess.
Oh, yeah, for sure. There's always got to be something new around the corner for us to keep going. And
I'm so impressed by you, Lauren. Like,
I know you've come so thinking, far.
This sweet girl who is super talented has grown a business to and this what have degree I been doing? In a right in such a short amount of time, and with having a new baby, like you've got a 2 year old, like I have a almost 17 year old. I don't know what I'm doing.
You have tons of time.
I feel like I don't. I feel like I should have my life figured out by now. I'm almost 40. Well, you have
a full-time job with Singer. I mean, there's also that, right?
I know.
Lauren made her full-time job.
I like to say I'm too feral to work for anybody, so I had to work for myself.
That's good.
I love that term. I'm too feral to work for anybody. Sometimes I feel like that. I can. I spent 10 years in, like, recruiting in HR.
Wow.
Yep.
I will say no more. That's all I need to say.
Yeah.
That's why I have a creative outlet.
Yeah.
Even though my job has creative position, it's not all creative, right? And it's doing for someone else. So to have my own creative outlet, so for myself, sometimes I don't challenge myself, let's say a new bag or a new type of sewing, because sometimes the work can be so challenging. I need more palette cleansers on the back end, but I find myself wishing I was challenging myself more personally in my personal sews.
Yeah.
But you know, balance.
Well, we should make it live together sometime. That would be fun.
Yeah. I would be so down for that.
Yeah.
Get all the materials.
I need that accountability.
Bag together or something.
I agree. And that, and like sewing can be so isolating. Mm-hmm. And lonely sometimes. And sometimes we need that. But every once in a while, it's nice when it can also be a social thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. While still being in our own homes.
You know, the few times that I get to teach people in person, it while it drains me physically in the moment, it recharges and fills my cup with joy in so many ways that doing it virtually we'll never be able to do.
Yeah,
I literally had a lady jump up after she sewed her first zipper pouch in Monica's class, and she's never sewn before, and she sewed a zipper pouch. Yeah. And she like jumped up and hugged me, was almost in tears, and she's like, I can't believe I did this. I wouldn't have done it without you. And I was like, you did it. I just rethreaded your machine 20 times, but you did it, okay? You did it. I didn't do it for you.
Yeah.
And she was so proud of herself. She was like, can you take a picture of me so my kids, my family can see that I did this, because I'm trying new things and they're the ones that encouraged me to come here and try this and put myself out there. And so I'm like videotaping and taking pictures like, look at you doing all of this. And she was so excited.
That's
so
cute.
Excited. You know, and there was a lot of first-time sewists in that class. And I was like, at the end of the class, I said, y'all have to be proud of yourselves. Your first-time sewer, like sitting in front of a sewing machine, and you sewed a zipper. Mm-hmm. So anybody listening that sews and they're scared of zippers, you no longer have an excuse. You got to do it.
Yeah.
They're not scary.
No.
They're not scary.
Maybe.
No.
Once you do it, you're like, oh.
Yeah. It's the buildup.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like teeth, and it's like, no, it's not like that.
The only thing that I have to do, I do have to pause and go, which way am I sewing the zipper on? Mm-hmm. I have sewn it on. You need to be
very mindful and
present. You have to be in the right mindset.
Yes.
And focused.
I'm always like reiterating that in my tutorials, like, be mindful, you're opening it this way.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I've sewn a zipper pouch, and when I go to sew... like, and to turn it before I turn it right side out.
Oh, yeah, you forget to unzip?
I forget to unzip my zipper. And so
I always have to mention that because people are like, didn't mention it, and I didn't unzip it. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not common sense for all of us, Ashley.
Like, obviously.
I know better, but sometimes I get in a hurry and or whatever, and I forget to unzip it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if there's a will, there's a way to get that zipper open, and you just gotta like figure it out.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I made that placemat mm-hmm. zipper clutch. Like it was like a clutch made out of a placemat.
Mm-hmm.
And I just used fabric to line it, and I cut a zipper through the middle. And that's like one of those plastic placemats from like Hobby Lobby.
Oh, wow.
And I got my heavy duty to sew through that. Nice. I was with a zipper and everything. I was quite proud of myself. I need to make a tutorial on that because it's like literally a $2 project.
That's mm-hmm. so you can get them in so like good. The clearance section at the yeah. end of the season and stuff.
Yeah, I have a lemon one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where it is right now. Cute. But what happens is I get fixated on something. So I did that and I made it and I loved it so much that I went to like Hobby Lobby and Home Goods and I bought all the placemats.
Oh no. So now you have a bunch of placemats at home.
So many placemats. And how many have I made since that lemon one? You will.
But when you want to, you're ready.
I got it all right here.
You're ready.
I even yeah, have exactly. one. Yeah, I have ones that are like a burlap with spiders and spider webs on it for Halloween. It is so stinking cute.
And when are you going to use a clutch on Halloween?
When do I ever use a clutch?
That's the other thing. Well, only for styled photos.
It's really stinking cute, though. It was cute. I did take the lemon one to the beach last summer, and I had it on the beach in my styled photos. And then that's like the only time I used it.
There you go.
It's okay. It's all okay. Right.
Well.
Oh my gosh. Well, Lauren, this has been fun. I appreciate you jumping on and chatting with us and getting to, I've learned so much more about you and your business. Like, I feel like Ashley and I both.
Yeah. I didn't realize how much you're
stalking you a lot longer than I have. So I'm so excited. But for our listeners, be sure you go follow Lauren on YouTube. We'll have it all linked below. Her website's below. Her socials are below. She's fun to follow along. She, in your stories, you even take us through the journey of like sourcing these products and yeah. like you share more about your business. And I really love that because yeah. a lot of people don't. And I feel like it and get your consumers invested in what you're doing and your business. Yeah. And yeah, makes me excited. I'm excited that to
emotional connection of
following. Yeah. Like, yeah. And I'm so excited to get to see you again in just a couple of months.
It's going
to
be so fun.
We'll have to talk Ashley into coming back down. She's coming down at the beginning of June. For our sewing retreat, but I need her to come back
it's
down.
It's that easy.
It is.
Stay long. I have to bring my
She's just going to spend the whole month of June with me.
Do it.
I would. If I, like, my kids were gone and they were, like, you know, grown, like, I would. Yeah, I would.
You'd be like, peace out, Canada.
Well, I.
Something I'm struggling with, too, since Dorothy is so young. I'm like.
Yeah.
I want to spend as much time with her as possible, but I feel like my career is so important. But at the same time, like. My career will exist when she's older too. So
mm-hmm. yeah.
Like having kids and a career. Like,
this is a very small part of your life. Your little baby.
I know. Yeah.
So it's like, it's one of those things where you're just like,
if I then just... you blink and they're yes. what, 9 and 11.
Yeah. That's how, yeah. That's my children's age.
Or then you and blink. They're almost 17.
17. That's crazy.
He's like a foot taller than me. Not quite, but he's almost there. Yeah. I mean, it flies by. So savor those moments.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you have that perspective, but I also love that you're setting an example for her that she can watch you grow
yeah.
a business and a legacy that she yeah. can maybe even grow into being a part of one day. You know, you're building a future yeah. for her through this hard work. So don't, I know it can feel like you're being pulled in so many different directions, or you can have mom guilt of like, am I spending too much time at work? Am I spending not enough time at work? And I'm, you know, leaving my employees hanging or whatever. Nobody's got it figured out. Nobody does it perfect.
She won't remember. She won't. She'll only remember the good times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like she's around a lot anyways yeah. for all the adventures. Yeah. So that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for joining us.
Thank you
for I'm so me. Grateful. Yeah. Yeah. All right, guys. So again, Lauren, thank you so much. Next week we have Jen, who is one of the pattern designers for Styla and Little Lizard King. I'm really excited to get to talk to her. So we're looking forward to that podcast. As always, guys, you know, you can listen to us on all of our streaming channels. You can watch our podcast on YouTube. You can also subscribe to our Patreon. We do extra content on Thursdays. If you're not aware of that, be sure to hop over there. There's a link in the description. And as I mentioned during this podcast, we have a new website that Ashley worked really hard for. I'm so proud of her for creating this website. It looks so good. We're still adding more and more to it, but we do have a newsletter. It lets you, it's a little inbox every week that reminds you, hey, it's Podcast Tuesday. So,
and a
sneak peek of who's coming up next. And it gives you more information about the guests that you're going to be hearing from that day. So be sure to sign up for our newsletter. And until next week, happy sewing, guys. Thank you so much. Bye.